So where's your accent at, bro? I ain't gonna lie. I said, where's your accent at? Like, where's the New Jersey, New York? Like, that's what I was wondering, bro.
It depends. How many people have you talked to in Jersey so far that has the accent?
I haven't talked to anybody. I'm gonna be honest with you.
That's because the accent is a stereotype off of whatever they were doing on Jersey Shore when that show was popping.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they kind of talk like this, you know, it has like a little bit of a New Yorker accent to it. That's because everybody who was in Jersey Shore pretty much was from New York.
Oh,
and they were from Staten Island. So that's really a Staten Island kind of accent.
Okay.
But there's still like little words here and there, like, I'm trying to think.
Bacon, egg, and cheese.
Like, we don't say water, we say water.
Water.
Yeah, water.
Water.
Yeah.
How did you pick that up so fast? How you pick that up fast?
Water. I've been trying to figure it out, bro. I'm going to learn the accent. No cap.
No, the only...
Oh, I was going to say, it's not as like annoying as it sounds, but we do say coffee instead of coffee. Oh, no, I mean, we say coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah, but the way you're saying it is how like New York. Like the wild way of saying it. We don't sound like that, but it's like a little hint of that.
So it's like the movie. I just said it like the movie New Yorker.
Yeah.
He's been practicing this accent ever since he found out we were coming here. Ever since I said, yo, we got somebody from New Jersey, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't gonna cap, like, I was so excited when you DM'd me. Because I was like, what the hell? Because I was looking at, the way I found out about you is through Quedeca.
Oh, yeah, that's the boy, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I was like, bro, like, I threw a dart in the window. I was like, shit, maybe he'll hit us back in the DM, man.
Yeah.
That shit was like fire. I was like, damn, he hit us back. You hit us back like fast. I was like, it was like 20 minutes. I was like, oh, what
yeah,
the hell?
I fished through my DMs because I'm not going to lie, like a lot of, not a lot, but there's been a couple of situations where I was able to like help somebody through really, really tough times, like damn near like save lives type shit. And I just never want to miss a moment like that or not be there for somebody like that. So yeah. Like I kind of just stick to my DMs just in case and make sure everybody's all right. Sometimes it's good business like this,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Other times I get to help others, you know. That's sometimes it's some bullshit, but
hey, bro, we need you to keep that same energy too, especially when you get bigger and bigger, bro.
I'm gonna try, you know. I'm only human, but yeah I'll try.
That's completely understandable. Do you have a manager?
Nah, not at all. I mean, I do, but his name is Samad.
Oh, you yourself? At first, I was like, damn, he got two Samads.
Because I was just so curious. Because I was like, dang, like usually. When we try to hit people up, we know, like, I know this rapper named Huncho. Like, we went to the same high school and everything. I hit him up in a DM. Like, we have DMs before. Like, I don't know if you know the Let's Get It song.
Let's get it.
Oh, let's get it.
It's definitely a Southern.
It's like a TikTok. It's a Southern hit. It's a TikTok song.
It sounds familiar. Yeah, you know, the internet kind of, like, broke the borders. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Low-key.
Like, we're kind of, like, I mean, we're talking a little bit different, but, like, our accents aren't too far from each other.
Especially
because everybody in New Jersey, little secret here, everybody in New Jersey has a family member in North Carolina.
Swear to God.
You can't meet anybody who doesn't have North Carolina family.
Yeah,
why,
I'm not going to lie.
Why is that? Like,
that's facts.
I have no idea.
Probably like the Great Migration or some shit.
When I lived in North Carolina, because even the girl I was dating who is in North Carolina, she has family members in New York and New Jersey. Like most of them were in Brooklyn, but like her grandmother was from... I want to say she was from Fairfield or something.
Fairfield?
Mm. Yeah.
That's where the show is tomorrow.
Yeah. That's probably why it's on my mind.
Oh, real quick question about the show. How'd you get in touch with Naughty by Nature?
KG. He's just a amazing producer. And there's, you know, so many legends of New Jersey. But as far as what I've seen, it's only him and the Outlaws that actually reach out to the people who are coming up. Like, whatever they see that's dope, they try to get behind and support. So... I try my best not to use favors when I know somebody like of that stature, but I feel like I could call him and ask him for even just advice, and he would be there and he'd be helpful. We've had meetings and worked on music together and stuff, and it's just I'm honored, you know, because that's a legend. He has so many hits under his belt, not even just in hip hop, but also in R&B, you know.
Damn, that's what's up, bro.
I think that's a good note to get into the intro.
Yeah.
So, yo, what's good, everybody? I'm Trey.
It's your boy, Million.
And you have now tuned in to Listening to Millions.
This is deeper than a podcast, I'm trying to tell y'all. Come sit down with us.
And today, we're in New Jersey with a very, very, very special guest. Samad, would you mind introducing yourself?
Good with it, it's your boy Samad Savage representing Montclair, New Jersey, and I pay my taxes, you know?
Hey, real quick question about the taxes thing. So, like, y'all really don't pump y'all gas?
Nah, not at all.
Like, y'all don't touch the gas one bit?
Mm-mm. Nah. That's peasantry. I'm joking.
Now they call all Southerners peasants.
Nah. That's like an inside joke here. But honestly, I would prefer to do my own gas. Like, whenever I go to different states, it's kind of funny. I end up just sitting in the car for mad long because I'm so used to other people doing it. Yeah. One time I sat in the car for half an hour, like, yo, what's up with these people? Like, where are they
at? That's crazy. Why do they do that here?
I have no idea. It's so weird. It's just us and, I think, Oregon. Mm. Yeah. I don't know.
Damn. That's dope, though. I ain't gonna lie.
It my sister be forgetting about that. Like, when she comes to Atlanta, she completely forgets that that's a thing. Like, you have to pump your own gas. Like, she's like, this is weird.
Yeah, I heard it at some gas stations, you cannot sit there too long. So, I hope she remembers that pretty soon.
Because she said yesterday, it was like, she forgot how to do it. Because she just sit there so often, she just forgot how to do it. And I just find that so funny.
So, do you know how to pump your own gas?
Yes.
Did it take you a minute?
I do hate the ones that, like, you got to walk inside the gas station and, like, pay there, no matter whether it's card or cash. Yeah. I'd rather just do it at the pump, you know?
I feel it, bro. Probably because you got hella fans while you're walking in to the gas station and shit. You know, people over here asking for autographs.
Nah.
How big are you? Huh? Has anybody ever asked you for an autograph?
Yes, that's definitely happened a couple of times. And every time it's like, it's surreal because I always wanted to get myself in a position to have to do that. Mm-hmm. But it's like, every time it happens, I'm like, yo, I'm really like living this. Right. Like, every once in a while, I'll be like fucking playing a video game or eating and just be like, I'm really a rapper. It always throws me off, you know?
Damn, that's crazy. But, so you don't work anywhere else?
Nah, this has been it since 2016.
That's a blessing, bro.
Before we go any further, we always start our shows with, how are you? How are you feeling today, man?
See, I love that. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling super blessed. I had a great night last night, and I have so much to look forward to. I'm happy that y'all are out here because, I mean, not only tomorrow's earlier show, but the night show. There's so much that we plan. There's so much dopeness, so many great artists that y'all going to be put on to. And it's just, I'm just very happy about everything that's happening right now.
Yeah. Will any of the artists, hold up. Mill, how you doing?
My bad. Thank you. He usually goes without asking me.
I was going to ask y'all, but then you asked.
Because he always says I skip him.
He does skip me. He does skip me sometimes. I got used to it. I didn't even notice it. But yeah, I'm pretty good, excited, definitely looking forward to, you know, like I said, networking and really just getting a good podcast out of you. So let's get it, bro.
All right, for sure.
And I'm doing great. Like, just coming to New Jersey, I love coming here because my family's here. Mm. Like, my sister, my brother-in-law, and my niece and my nephew. Like, you can ask him. My niece has been in my lap ever since she got here. Ever since we got here. Like,
that's adorable.
That's my favorite part about coming in. And now that we get to network with you, see all the artists that you're bringing, and then Naughty by Nature concert for free. That's a plus. Yeah, so like same, all that, bro, like, no all that cap. Is great.
Yeah,
for real.
What's y'all's concert scene out here?
It depends on who you are, really. Like, some people are just known to turn it up and like really add on to their shows, such as me, Turkish Royale, and like just a couple of artists in that lineup. Mm. And then there's others who's just like, you just gotta see and experience. And then there's others that's just like, yo, you're doing great on streams and whatnot, but you just literally go out and with a backing track that has your main vocals on there and stuff. Like, it's not a real show or anything. You're pretty much a fan of your own work at this point, you know? So it depends on who you are. Yeah.
That's dope. So what do you do to prep for your performances?
A lot of lean, you know?
I'm sitting here like, shit, goddamn.
Prayer, that's all. Just prayer and water. Yeah.
Prayer and water. That's what's up.
I was going to say, a lot of lean. Jeez, I could have sworn I just finished watching a YouTube video about how you were talking about the importance of not introducing your fans to that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like importance of if that's what you need to do it, that's what you need to do it. But don't, like, tell your fans that's what they need as well. That's how the only way to get out of a hard time. And I found that to be real dope. Like, a lot of the stuff that you do on the positive aspect, I find to be, like, extremely cool.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm stunned. I didn't know you were gonna bring. I know y'all did y'all due diligence and whatnot, but I just That threw me off. That was dope.
Well, we were talking about it earlier, right? Mm-hmm. On a previous podcast, and I was just talking about the importance of music and the influence that it has. Mm-hmm. So, like, my question to you is, like, why did you choose not to become one of those rappers? The ones that talk about drugs and shit like that.
It's because it's who I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I was... I don't really rap about anything that I don't do. You know what I'm saying? Y'all ain't really hear, like, a lot of gun bars from me mm-hmm. until I started going to the gun range. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah, so, like, I don't like to rap about anything that's not my real life, you know? Mm-hmm. So, instead of saying, like, oh, I'm smashing this chick, or I smashed a girl, da-da-da, I ain't do that, but I could. So I might be like, I could do this and that, and I could do this and that, you know? Uh-huh. But, yeah, I just it's all about who I am, you know.
I feel it. So, have you ever ran into anybody that's been faking?
Yes, that's half the industry, and damn, that's even in the underground. You know, a lot of people do whatever is nice for the look, you know. Mm-hmm. And I get it. It's we're selling something, you know what I'm saying? We're businessmen, but it's just it depends on the kind of artist you are. Are people going to take you as a joke? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Are you like? Like 6ix9ine, I don't think 6ix9ine is getting any of his fans hurt because obviously he's a joke.
Right.
I feel like an artist like when Drake was fighting Ghostwriter allegations, the mm-hmm. reason that people were so affected by that is because people listen to Drake and listen to his advice and feel like they're one with Drake, you know what I'm saying? So that knowing that it's his words and it's his life and that's what he's doing and living means a lot more when it comes to an artist that great, you know? So it's all about who you want to be.
I feel it, bro.
My question is, like, staying on the whole about your music topic, like, you barely cuss. Like, I think I listened to the full Duo Liddy album, and I was, like, it got to a point where I'm listening for curse words. Like, I heard a nigga once, and I heard fuck in the Quideca song, but I'm like, where, like, does he cuss at all? Like, do you try to avoid curse words? Or are you one of those people who's like, well, there's so many ways to get across a point that you don't have to cuss when you rap?
Well, one of my biggest goals in music is to make people feel again. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about feeling and emotion and whatnot. And, you know, I'm not the person that's just like, yo, stop cursing so much. I feel like I've cursed so much since this little podcast began. And I curse a lot in real life, but I feel like when I'm putting my intentions out there and writing every single word, I'm very particular in what I put out into the world. So if I do say fuck, it's because it's how I'm feeling. You know what I'm saying? I need to evoke that emotion. Like on Watch Your Mouth, which is hella cursing on that song, the hook literally goes, you better watch your fucking mouth. You better watch your fucking mouth. Yeah. If I just was like, you better watch your mouth. You better watch your mouth. It would have sounded like some like early 90s Will Smith, you know, like jingle, you know. I needed to evoke that emotion of like, nah, like you really need to, you know.
Right. Watch your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
Yo, so another thing. I'm sorry. I'm kind of geeking out because when I got onto your music, I was like, God damn, like this shit is fire. But like my favorite song by you is Mama, I Made It, right? Mm. At what point did you just tell yourself, like actually realize, like I made it?
That song wasn't, I mean, it's about me because my mom, I don't want to say she like doubted me or anything like that. But when you're a black single mother and then your child's like, Mom, I want to be a rapper, that's like the scariest words that you can hear because that's like pretty much saying I want to be a ball player. You know, there's just slim chances and all of these things. So she definitely was like, you know, still have a job, do what you can. Maybe you should do producing more than rapping, you know, just don't do what everybody else is doing.
Right.
Kind of thing. But she's also the same person that drove me to so many shows and sold a bunch of my CDs to her friends at work and stuff, you know, so she clearly believes in me. But this is for anybody who has a parent like that, who's like, has that tad bit of doubt. Like, I wrote the hook on that song.
Yeah.
The Mama told me to be a doctor, which she did. I ain't never have enough patience. Mama told me to be a scholar, which she did. Got no class in the dangerous. Mama told me to be a lawyer, raising everybody to come. She told me to be all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still doing what I love. I may not have the salary of a lawyer or doctor or anything yet, but, like, I'm still serious. Like, I'm still getting these numbers and competing with people that I look up to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I made it in that way. But this is for anybody. Mm-hmm. I want everybody to feel like they made it. Success, Grammys, and all of that stuff don't mean you made it. What means you made it is you're doing what you love and you're able to live off of it.
So when you said that your mom was doubting you, do you think at any point were you actually doubting yourself?
Nah. In fact, I only wanted to quit rap about 2 times in my life. And the reason was more religious purposes. Like, really? I was like, yeah, I'm very, very dedicated to God. So, like, I always try to make sure that my ego and my presence and who I am as a rapper and MC doesn't surpass, like, my devotion to God. It's all about that. And there was one point where I was like, you know, music is so, like, well, I don't want to say is so, but music can be evil. Music can be used to push malicious things, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? Instead of just feeling like, yo, the industry and da-da-da, the music and da-da, I feel like God made music for a reason. Like, at times where I wasn't that religious, music saved my life, you know? Mm. So, and I felt like there's so many other people in the world out there like that. So music can't necessarily be all bad. It's kind of like anything. Movies like Across the Universe that inspire artistry and stuff like that. And then there's movies like Kill Bill that inspire violence, which yeah. I love that movie. Don't get me wrong. But, yeah, so it's about balance at the end of the day for me. Okay.
So would you ever go the gospel rap route? Like, not especially.
Nah. He said, I'm free. I'm top. No.
Nah, it's no disrespect to gospel artists. Like, if they want to do that. By the way, I'm very inspired by gospel music. Not lyrically, but sonically.
Yeah.
You know?
Sonically.
Like, yeah, like the choirs and the big sound okay. and the chills that you get when you hear it, you know? Okay. Like, that's what I like to push. As I said, I make music to make people feel.
I was just about to say, yeah. That's the feeling you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But I wouldn't be... I don't like anything that puts me in a box. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, so if I were to like be like, yeah, I'm a gospel artist, so 2 things. Firstly, I'm Muslim. So I'm sure that the whole community of the gospel artists would be like, no, you don't really roll with us and da-da-da. They might try to push me out of that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, something that Muslims and Christians share is the belief of God, you know? What they would call the Father, we call God. Mm-hmm. And that's all that matters at the end of the day is that we try our best to just be good people and, you know, get right with the Lord. That's all. I forgot where I was going. My bad.
Oh, no, I keep talking, ADHD. My guys. Yeah. But he was just asking, like, if you would ever do gospel.
And would I do gospel? Yeah, I would feature on a gospel track. But I don't know if I would come out with a gospel song.
Mm. I feel it.
I feel like the closest was, like, Ford.
See, and I put you in a box myself because as soon as you said... Started talking about God and the Lord. I was like, oh, yeah, he wants to do gospel. Yeah, that's a... And then, because I was going to bring up artists like Manny Mula and Caleb Gordon. You know, they both had those 2 big songs on TikTok. And I was like, these are actually dope gospel rap tracks that I would listen to on a daily basis. Like,
yeah.
Because gospel rap is getting to the point where it's, like, listen-to-able. It's not...
Yeah, it don't feel cringe.
Yeah. But then again, like you said... You had a big point to why you can't do gospel rap. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and even if it, you know, there wasn't a conflict of interest, it would still be like, I don't feel like I fit in that genre. I still feel like a hip-hop artist. Yeah. No matter how much I sing, everything I do, the way I live, talk, breathe, eat, dress, it's all hip-hop. Yeah. You know, like, that's just who I am as a person. That's not to limit myself either.
Nah, you good, you good. So, what you being, like... With you saying that you were Muslim and everything, mm-hmm. like, how did that, this, like, how do you get the decision to say, you know what, I want to do rap? Like, like, I know there had to be some religious conflicts in there.
So, nah, the thing is, rap was created way after Islam. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing particular about that. There's some people say that there's things about religion. I mean, things about music in Islam that some people prohibited and whatnot. But the thing is, those are what they call weak hadiths or weak scriptures, which means that this is something that somebody said that our prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said. I only believe in Muhammad said this from one person instead of it going on and on. That. Yeah,
it's kind of like the Bible. You know?
Yeah, there's some.
It's like a game of telephone in the same sense. Have you ever questioned your religion?
Yes, I'm human.
Because I ask people that's like heavy in the church, and the people that say no, I've never, I'd be like, I feel like you're bullshitting me.
That's a different. I feel like that's the wrong kind of fear. Like when people say fear God, I don't think it means like be scared of him. I think it means like respect him. Don't do everything in your life as if he's right there watching you. You know, mm-hmm. And some people are just have that fear, that kind of like that slaves would have when masters would come around, kind of fear, where they're just like, oh no, I don't feel this way, and da da da. Like, no, we're human, you know. Yeah. Like we're supposed to be able to have doubts. That's part of our journey. I don't feel like God makes interesting stories out of everybody's life, you know. Yeah. And no story is interesting. It's just like, oh, I've been like a holier than thou believer from beginning to end. Like, God bless you if you are, but nobody's like that. Mm-hmm. I have a song called Peace, where I said, what did I say? I said, I'm not perfect either. I'll be late on all my prayers from Faja to Isha. Mm. And the song is about peace and finding peace and whatnot, but I put that in there because it's just like, I don't want nobody to think like, I'm like, yo, come to God, God's going to save you, da da da. And it's not going to be a struggle. It's not going to be like every day you got to wake up. You know how they say in a relationship, you got to wake up and choose to love that person every day?
Facts.
Yeah. It's like that with God, too.
Facts. And, I mean, that's a perfect segue into my next question. Mm. I see that you got married.
Yes.
Yeah, I see that you're married. Like, you're wearing your ring. Yes, it's a very nice ring. What made you, because you're only 25 years old, and a lot of people nowadays, although my parents probably got married at my age, 22.
Yeah, my parents got married at 20.
Yeah, so, but now 25 is really young. Like, my sister didn't get married till 28. So, what made you decide to get married at such a young age? Like, well, what age did you get married, and why so young?
I got married at 23, I believe. Mm. And there was a lot of contributing factors. Firstly, since I was like a kid, like I think about like 6, I always pictured myself being married. Like, oh, that's just the kind of person that I was. Anytime that I was trying to get a girlfriend or whatever, I wanted to marry that girl. Like, I wouldn't say it to them and scare them off and stuff, but my intentions was like, yo, I want to build a life with this person. I don't want to waste no time. I don't want to do no BS and whatnot and going back and forth with other women and cheating and all of that. Like, nah, that's not for me. I just want to find who I feel like would be the great mother of my children, mm-hmm. and stick with her, you know? And I found that person early, thank God. There was that. There was also, like I was trying to wait until marriage before I lost my virginity.
He was doing his best. Yeah. He was doing his damn best.
I did good.
He fell into temptation, though.
You know what's difficult? Doing that throughout high school. And I got to 19. I got until after high school, you know?
I'm saying.
Did you go to college?
No, I didn't. Okay. I went for a semester.
What school did you go to?
I went to Estes County College.
Was that the where the year it? Where you lost it?
Not, was it? It was, but it wasn't with anybody
at school. Oh, at school? I feel
it was. It was with this beautiful young black queen in New York from Queens. Such an amazing person. We had our differences and whatnot, but you know, I don't hold that against her at all. She was a great person, and I hope whoever she's with now, she's happy with her.
That's a different level of peace.
I'm saying, because I'll talk about my ex. I'm like, I low key have like a little bit of salt when I talk about her. Like, I love her, but fuck that. Nah.
There's only, I think, only one ex I got a little salt to. But other than that,
what she do to you, bro?
She ain't do nothing. All right, so here's the thing: we weren't communicating, but she moved a little bit foul. So we went out on a date at the Prudential Center. I wasn't Samad Savage, but I was still Samad Savage. Like, I was coming up a little bit.
Okay.
We went out on that date, and then we didn't take pictures. She ain't posted or nothing like that. But then the next day, she on a gram on her main timeline. I mean, like, on her timeline, like, kissing some dude's face off. So I called, because I'm like, yo, like, what the... Like, I'm not going to lie, I was way more aggressive.
You know, like, was this before you found your peace?
I had my peace. She took that away from me.
First of all, I was all kinds
of mad. I don't think I called her like a bitch because that's just not who I am.
Yeah.
But I was like, I was tight, yo. But I was only tight because, like, if you're going, you know, mess around and whatnot, and that's who you are, by all means, you know, like, she clearly not trying to hide it. but don't embarrass me. Like, people saw me out with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but we ended up working it out. Like, everything was cool with me and her. We didn't date, but I think everything is chill. Yeah.
I got you.
That's crazy. I don't think I would have handled it that calmly. If
I didn't, I'm telling you, I'm leaving so much out.
That's crazy.
Hey, but that's in the past, though.
In the past,
explain your wife. Full egomaniac.
Explain your wife, man. Has she like changed you, and have you become a new man now that you're married?
All right, so I feel like I'm still the same person, beliefs wise, but I do feel like I think so much more. I feel like I'm smarter. I think a lot before I do certain things. Certain things in my career wouldn't have even happened without her. Like the Goodnight music video, she wrote the whole treatment for that. Like, wow. I didn't have any ideas for it. I said, like, this is up to you. Now, granted, when I first recorded Goodnight, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to just drop this as a throwaway. It wasn't supposed to be anywhere near as big as it ended up being. And but I promised her that, and we stuck to it, and I'm so glad that we did because that video was incredible. Damn, shout out to Huda Wiz for directing, though.
How do you... I still kind of brand new out here in the single life, you know? Yeah. But how do you grow to trust somebody that much? Like, was it like a struggle?
Never trust
to...
anybody. I'm joking.
was it a struggle to get down on one knee and ask, like, for real? Like, what questions went through your head?
Man. So the difference between me back then, who got really upset at Shorty for, like, embarrassing me, and now, is that I don't really care about how I look to the world. You know what I'm saying? It's whatever. I'm human, so I may get mad or whatnot. But compared to back then, I just really don't care like that. Mm-hmm. So if my wife ever did decide to, like, up and cheat on me or something like that, that wouldn't really break the trust. That would just make me say, you have issues that I'm not, that I can't relate to. You know, we need to separate. But that's just, that's your issue. If you feel, if you're in a relationship that you feel like you're, everything is great and you're loving and caring and you still up and do that, that means you got something wrong with you. You know what I'm saying? That has nothing to do with me. Like, I ain't ugly, so.
Bro, we're talking to a mature man right here, bro.
That's the difference, like, between 22 and 25.
I'm trying to tell you, like, oh my God, I almost teared up. Like,
I guess I did change.
Sheesh. That's wild, bro. Yeah, that's definitely, but you're in love, though, right? You still love her?
Yeah.
Plan on having kids?
Yeah. Yeah, we both made a promise to each other that we're going to try to get as mentally right with ourselves before we do that. Because the biggest flaw between us and both of our parents is that our parents kind of passed their mental health issues down to us because they never took care of them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were put in situations where they didn't have the opportunity to. So, we're, you know, we married young, we're in our own place already and whatnot. There's nothing left to do really but have children. So before that, why not take this free time that we have with each other and learn each other and grow so we can give a child the loving life that it deserves, you know?
How many kids are you planning on having?
You know, it's funny. The answer always changes.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. See, like, now I want, like, 10.
Oh, my God. Please don't get million started.
I said 10, man. That's my favorite number.
Really?
I want 10 kids.
Yo, honestly, you really trying to make a football team.
Hey, I'm not playing. Yeah. I'm serious out here. But yeah, man. No, so you want...
I would like 4. Ideally. Four. Like, that's like what I hope for. I hope that I can just get, and that's just where it's at. Because I want to have a family. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to just have a only child or just two kids that we got to look after and whatnot. I want my kids to have a siblinghood where they really can protect each other and care for each other and stuff if I ever pass or anything, you know?
Okay. Do you,
also, that's that Southern stuff right there.
What?
Wanting 10 kids?
Oh, that's not Southern. That's just million. I promise I don't want 10. I swear to it.
How many siblings y'all got?
I have one older sister.
Okay. I'm the oldest of 5.
Oldest of 5. Okay. Well, that makes 5. Sense. Yeah.
I just love kids, man. I've watched them all grow up, and it's just a great experience. Like, They're literally the future.
Yes. Yes, that is a big contribution to the future. That's what I stand on. Like, I try to do that through music and inspire people and you know, give lessons that'll go way beyond me. Mm-hmm. But when you give that to a child, and that child gives that to a child, and then it spreads out through all of those children's children, that's a different kind of like blessing, you know.
So you would be cool with your kids being a rapper then?
If that's what they feel like they really want, I will tell them all of the pros and cons of it, you know. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that I wouldn't not let my children be without giving them the pros and cons of it, you know.
Okay.
Am I the only person who likes returnable children? I don't
know. Returnable children? Yeah.
Like, I know I mentioned my niece and my nephew, but they're like the part, like, I love the fact that I can hold them, and as soon as they start crying, all right, go to my sister, go to your mama. All
right, put it like this, though. Like, what kind of family member doesn't get on your nerves if you're around them too long?
Oh, that's facts.
Your kids got to do that, too.
It's part of love.
It's part of love.
Yeah, bro. it's just learning how to deal with people. Because people who, like, I mean, not saying it's you or anything, but, like, being a single child, if you isolate yourself, you don't know how to function in relationships. And any situation that you have to, like, dedicate yourself to a person and not give up on is way harder, you know?
That's true.
Earlier, you had said you're going to teach your kids the pros and the cons to rapping. Mm. What are some?
Okay.
Well, give me some pros and some cons.
Well, it really depends on the route you want to take, what kind of rapper you want to be. Could I break it down into at least like two or three sections?
Go for it,
bro.
So if you want to be a conscious rapper,
okay, a conscious rapper. Give me a conscious rapper, Trey.
Joey Badass.
That's what
okay.
I was, okay.
All right, we're thinking Joey right now. For the people out there, we're thinking Joey.
Yeah, all right, that's a good example. You could be as a conscious rapper, you can end up being Lupe Fiasco, where his career is right now. He's my favorite rapper of all time.
Oh,
but he's not as successful as Kendrick Lamar, or I don't even know if he's like money wise as successful as a Joey Badass, because Joey Badass is doing movies and acting and stuff too. Mm-hmm. But you can end up like that. You can end up like Joey Badass, who picked the independent route all the way and it just worked for him, but he also had a crew behind him. There's so many different things that added on to that. This answer is so multifaceted. We could talk about this for like ever.
Yeah. Somebody calling me?
No, I was.
Oh, he said we could pause real quick.
Oh yeah, cause yeah, that little kid smashing and me.
That little kid going crazy, having the fun of his life right now. But
you don't want kids, do you?
I want two or three. That's it.
Two or three?
Yeah.
You know, I always say four because I don't want a middle child.
And I know I can't have one because I always talk about like. My mom's uncle committed suicide and she was the only child, right?
Oh.
So she kind of just, like, I see how lonely she became after that, you know?
Oh.
So I was like, I have to at least have three. But then, like you said, I don't want a middle child.
Yeah.
So four. But you know, why stop at four?
Oh, my God. All right. Hey, honestly, I'm glad that we let him do it because he don't want to have no kids. So that's
hey,
like...
there we go. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I kid you not. I'm gonna probably spoil the shit out of my kids. At
Yo.
This point. But all right, so you was just talking about you was about to break down the three type of rappers and the pros and cons.
Oh, my bad. I was about to break down the pros and cons.
The pros and cons of the three different type of rappers.
And then we left off on the conscious rapper. We had just finished it, and then the kid body slammed the skee ball into the machine.
Just start over.
We'll get right to it. I was saying some good examples was, I said you could end up being like Lupe Fiasco, have a great career in the beginning, and then it just, like, you know, you create enemies from just being who you are, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't work out. Or you could be a Joey Badass and have, like, a crazy-ass prime, get into other things and whatnot. But then, like, you're kind of, like, you're limited to what your fans expect of you, you know?
Mm.
Or you can just end up like Kendrick Lamar and be the biggest freaking artist in the world and everything goes great for you, or J. Cole and same thing. But there's so many different routes with being a conscious rapper. There's also the difference between being conscious trap and whatnot, or being a independent rapper. Like, when you're independent, it's a very slow grind, you know. You got to be at it for years. You're not going to be there instantly. When it's when you're signed to a label, you could be at it instantly, but also your label could shelf you.
Facts.
So there's just so many different kinds of pros and cons and gambles within that. Are you sure you want to be part of a career that does not have a guarantee? If you want to do this and you 100% want to do it and you're sure, I believe in you, I'll support you 100%. But if you have any kind of doubts in your mind yourself, you're not built to be in it.
Mm. What type of artist are you trying to be? Are you right now, and are you trying to be something else?
So I feel like right now I'm somewhere between an anomaly, like a once in a lifetime, this only happens a few years kind of rapper, and a YouTube rapper. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, when you said that, like, I literally have a question in my notes about that. That specific thing is your audience is on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it translated, it doesn't really translate well across social media platforms, like such as TikTok, like the newer ones that are geared to like Instagram. You're perfect because it's Instagram is now tailored towards like people our age and up. TikTok is tailored towards people who are younger than us, like our age and down.
Yeah.
So like, and YouTube is also like people who are a little bit older. And my question to you is like, a lot of the support that you receive is from people who are like looking for that, a young guy with that old school touch. Do you think that that's going to limit you in the long run, or do you think that's a positive that you can use to continue to build on from here?
So I felt like I was going to be there, but once I dropped Dua Lidi, I kind of changed that.
Yeah.
Like, because that's, there's only a few tracks on there that has like that old school feeling.
Yeah.
It's mostly like modern stuff, but just in my own style. But like, and I don't have a problem with being a YouTube rapper. The only problem that I have is what that could possibly mean to somebody. It's a different definition for every person.
Yeah.
For what I think it should be is just like, you're an artist who's very prominent in YouTube. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
But it's a whole like style of music. People expect me to rap, you know, fast on every song and expect me to like be rapping fast and not really saying anything, or to just be cringy, you know, like, and that's just, that's not who I am. That's never who I was. So when I rap fast, it's because I'm thinking about like Old Ho.
Yeah.
That's the fast rapping that I'm inspired by. Twista, Busta Rhymes. Eminem is my second favorite rapper, but it's not because of his fast rapping. So when I rap fast, I'm not trying to rap fast like Eminem, which a lot of the YouTube rappers are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So everything that I do has different reasonings.
And like, because I just, well, first thing, do you think being on YouTube is the most beneficial platform to grow on? Because
it depends.
Because the, I mean, like the monetization aspect though, like it's probably easy. Like you have 44,000 subscribers. You average about 15, 20,000 views. Like, it's probably lining your pockets very well in terms of money, but when in terms of, like, potential growth and reaching people.
Let's do real numbers.
Yeah.
So, I have 44,000 subscribers, I think, right now, right? Yeah. On YouTube. And I have a couple of videos up there, some way more successful, some not. I get about $300 per month from YouTube. Good.
Yeah.
But on Spotify, I have 50,000 monthly listeners.
Okay.
And, well, about, I think it, like, varies between 49 to, like, 60 sometimes or whatever. But I have about 50,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. Most of my listeners come from Spotify.
Yeah.
From my streams, my DistroKid check every month is usually about, like, $600.
Okay.
So, I don't think YouTube is as profitable as everybody's making it out to be. You have to be, like, the Mr. Beasts and Pootie Pies and
to actually
see
that profit.
See like a crazy profit strictly off of YouTube. And even then, Mr. Beast and Pootie Pie are still doing brand deals and still taking sponsorships. You know what I'm saying?
And that's another thing I was just thinking about, because rappers don't post videos every week, or even a lot of these YouTubers three times a week.
Yeah.
You're only posting
once a day sometimes.
Yeah. Exactly. So like those people who are seeing those large numbers aren't those people who are posting like you, like, periodically get your video out, and then boom. I didn't even think about that aspect.
Bro, we got to rearrange listeners.
We got to rearrange the
I'm like, tuning up.
I create content on Instagram and TikTok and stuff, but, like, I'm not a content creator. Like,
you're
I'm a musician.
Yeah.
You go on YouTube, there's only about, like, two or three videos outside of what I do. There's two videos of me reacting to cyphers that I'm on, because I didn't see it, and I was like, you know what, this is way to funnel more numbers because people are looking for reactions to this anyhow, and I'm on it. And then there's this one thing I did for my man's, his album had dropped, and I did like a he told me he was going to have a cookout for the album release. And I was like, yo, let's do like a little interview there because I've always just wanted to interview somebody and see how that goes. But that was just me having fun. Like, that's not something I'm doing. So I'm not really a YouTube rapper. I'm just a rapper on YouTube.
I feel that.
Damn. So when you said that you were an anomaly, though, can you explain?
So I feel like this is going to sound extremely cocky. But I feel like the kind of artist that I am, the energy that I bring to music, the innovation that I bring to music is something that in the right hands, like if I got with a Dr. Dre or a Hove or a Diddy, it could turn into something monstrous. If I have access to everything that I really wanted, like y'all got to remember, Dua Litty was made in my bedroom apartment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that was just...
And that album is amazing. Like, please go stream that album. Bro, yeah, it's like, dude, it is so many songs on that album that I'm like, as you talk about being once in a lifetime, like, I really want to talk about the Bloom track, but please finish your thought.
Yeah.
I just had to tell the listeners, please go stream Duo Litty. Give it a listen. It's a song on there for everybody, literally.
Yes, that was part of the goal. Thank you. Yeah, man. So that's what I mean. I feel like I have the potential, if put in the right hands, I could be... I don't like saying the next, but just for the sake of what's the word that I'm looking
for? Giving people a comparison?
Yeah, for the sake of giving people a comparison, the next Kanye, you know, there's only a Kanye every couple of years, you know. First it was Curtis Blow.
Okay. Yeah.
Then it was Rakim.
I see it.
Mm-hmm. Then it was Big Daddy Kane. Then somewhere in between there, or somewhere along the line, it was N.W.A. / you know, Ice Cube and them as individuals. Yeah. Then it was Tupac, Biggie. Then it was Hove is the artist that just changes the whole entire game. And then it was Kanye is the artist that changes the entire game. People are wearing pink polos and backpacks now. Yep. Then it was Kid Cudi, like, oh, we could rap in a melody in that way on beats that have techno influence. Then it was Kendrick Lamar. You know,
that person.
He was waiting for Drake.
I'm not trying to do like a direct timeline.
He was waiting for Drake.
Oh, yes. I swear on Drake. God, I was waiting
for Drizzy, if you're watching this, my apologies. I was just naming random names that came to mind.
Drizzy, if you're watching this, hit me up.
Yeah, like even with Drake, you know, made rappers be able to feel like they could, like, you know, be more present with their emotions. Not to just limit him to saying he's like, oh, he's just an emotional rapper. I don't think he's that at all. But he made it easier for rappers to express their emotions. Then going into Kendrick and Cole, like, these are all artists that are just like huge. Like, they have a moment in time. They bring something new to the game every time they come out. You know what I'm saying? That's why I feel like I put myself, and it's not like I'm trying to put myself on a pedestal. I just feel like that's my potential. I'm so sure of it. And it may sound cocky now, but God willing, y'all come back to this about 2 years from now when it all makes sense.
Hey, we would love to come back 2 years from now.
See, that's that Kanye West. That's that Kanye West talk. Yeah, we was watching that documentary yesterday.
I ain't see the second ep, so don't ruin it.
I ain't gonna ruin it. Yeah. But you seen in the first one though. You seen in the first one the amount of confidence he had. And like, he would go into the record studios, play the music. They was not fucking with his shit at first.
And he's singing, bopping his head like, this is the next song. And then they're just like,
they're just sitting there, just blowing him off.
Yeah. You know, I was told is it okay if I mention another podcast?
Oh, go for it.
Go ahead, bro.
I was told through the Rory and Maul podcast that the people that was in that building have heard those songs a couple of different times, that like Ye done that a couple of times.
Okay.
And they were just trying to work. You know what I'm saying?
So it kind of was annoying.
That's not to, like, you know, say, like, it's still All Falls Down and Jesus Walk, some of the greatest songs ever. They should have given it more attention no matter what Hov was doing at the time. No offense to Hov.
Sure.
But yeah, there's just so much more to that situation. Now, what I can say that I relate with is him going, just trying to be a good person. Like, just come back to a city and try to get love, and then somebody dissing you and stuff like that. Yeah. Like that. Nobody's directly dissed me, but I've had many, many different situations like that where I'm, like, coming up trying to pay homage and stuff, and then out of nowhere, it's just, like, hatred. And then, like, it just got you down, questioning your purpose and what you want to do. Like, I could see all of that in his face. And then here comes Donda, you know what I'm saying? The mother, not the album. Yeah. And, you know, it's just that sense of light. And I feel like, for me, that's my mom, my wife, and God, you know. That's just anytime that I feel like, you know, what am I doing this for? Not quitting. I never feel like quitting. But I feel like sometimes, like, I got to remember my purpose and what motivates me. Those three always just center me, you know?
I feel it. You definitely need people like that in your corner.
For sure.
So you
definitely
think...
need a Cootie, too.
Yeah, that's what Cootie. I'm saying. Cootie dropped everything to record that.
Definitely.
And is that like, was that for this documentary? Like, was all that for this?
I guess so. I mean, he knew he was going to be big.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they was going to do a documentary eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he knew he was going to be big.
I definitely... It's funny, I've been saying a lot, like, yo, I need a Cootie, but I'm like, I ain't in a position. When Cootie started recording was after Kanye had got a couple of beats off, you know, to
other people and stuff.
So he had a little bit of a budget to at least take Cootie wherever he was, you know? Not I ain't got that kind of budget yet.
And we know, because when you were like, you going to fly me to Atlanta, we were like, we can get to New Jersey. We can make New Jersey work.
You know
work.
What? Respect to y'all, though. Y'all the first people that's done something like this with me. Like, to be able to say, well, if we can't get them here, we're going to do a trip. We're going to film other content. Like, y'all, that's super inspirational. That's another reminder on why I do this kind of stuff, you know? Mm. Like, it makes you think, like, yo, just taking that chance and just going and doing whatever is, that's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of was like a no-brainer for us. It was just like, shit. He said, we can go out there. We're going, bro.
Because like I said, like, right now, we're filming this in the leasing office at my sister's townhouse complex. Like, I was like, we had the resource to get up here. So I was like, it's a no-brainer. When you said Montclair wasn't nothing but 20, 30 minutes, I was like, oh, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, that's, see, the thing about that is, y'all went with the intentions of, like, all right, whatever to, you know, get this podcast done. And at that time, I didn't have these two shows lined up. That's coming up. And now y'all going to have a lot more out of it, a lot more content. Y'all could throw clips of tomorrow in between this and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because of that little attitude that y'all had of, like, oh, it's, all right, we going to go there. That's crazy, you know?
Damn.
Yeah.
Hey, so you have said something. I love to ask this question to people, but they were kind of smaller acts, but like you were kind of on a larger scale. So like, can you explain to me what hatred is to you? Like, have you actually ran into haters? And what's like the most hated shit you've heard somebody say?
Hatred never matters until it's from somebody that I don't understand it's from. I don't get why you're being like this. Like, you don't have to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
You're at a higher stature than me. You know what I'm saying? And once again, it's like, you know, to bring it back to the cheating thing, that's a problem with you that you got to figure out within yourself. It actually has nothing to do with me. But, like, still that, I get angry at confusion. Like, it's not when somebody says, yo, Samad, you suck, you can't rap. I don't care about none of that. But when somebody's like, Samad, you rap like Beyonce. Like, Beyonce raps amazingly, but I would just, like, look at that in confusion, whether it's a compliment or not. Like, what?
What do you mean by that?
Yeah. Yes. Things that make me say, what do you mean by that? I don't even get that. Is the stuff that frustrates me.
Mm. Yeah.
But I don't care about hatred.
So, like, you've never heard somebody... But you've heard people say your music sucks.
Yes. Yes.
How do you just brush it off your shoulder, bro?
Oh, I grew up in Montclair, New Jersey, man. Like, I was like, I don't like to use the word bully because it makes me sound like defenseless and stuff like that. I never felt defenseless, but people was like trying to bully me over this whole music thing. Same with I don't know if you guys heard of him, but Jay Wonder, another dope artist. Same thing happened to him. Like, when you grow up in that environment, they don't believe in you. I had people slapping mixtapes out my hand. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a joke. Like yo, I'm selling my CD for $5. Oh, word, let me get it.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I said, bro, you're the most hospitable person in Jersey. Like, it makes no sense. Like, I remember one time, my first time here, I opened the door for somebody. And they just looked at me like I'm crazy and said, fuck are you doing? And I was like, what? And then my sister said, see, that's what you get for trying to be nice. Like, bring your ass. I was like, well, shit.
Yo, that's hilarious to me because, like, all right, so, like, I grew up in that environment, as I said, but I was trying to be something. Sometimes in your hometown, when you're trying to be something, people don't see it and don't believe in it. You get moments like Kanye playing his records at Rockefeller. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the like random meanness and whatnot, I don't really get that here. You know? I don't know.
Maybe that lady was just having a bad day.
Maybe. Oh, it was a lady that
said it was an old lady, like an old, like 50.
Where were you at?
I was at that Costco right around the corner.
What?
Yeah. I'm so serious.
You're in Bayonne, bro. It's safe. Everything is good out
exactly.
Here.
You hear that's the kids hilarious. Playing?
Yeah. Nigga said it's safe. That blew my mind.
The fact that you said that's safe. So where do you live? Like, is it like a hood?
I'm safe too, but Bayonne, I would say, is safer than Montclair.
Okay.
Due to my knowledge. You never know what's going on unless you win the mix. But
oh no, my sister was telling us earlier, like, it was all right. So the biggest thing that's happened since she's been here was somebody got robbed with a knife. Like, that was the craziest
thing. Did they actually get stabbed?
No. It was the person had a knife. The SWAT team came. Port Authority. Like, over somebody being robbed with a knife.
You think that's bad? There was once a fight at, like, there's always fights in high school.
Yeah.
There was once a fight that everybody started, like, gathering, like, meeting up for. It was going to be at the basketball court around the corner from the high school. 8 cop cars.
Damn.
Like, what?
You mean in one fight?
Yeah.
Bro, it was a party by our school. Like, you're not going to know this school. Fort Valley State University. It's a small HBCU in Middle Georgia. And it was a party, like, at one of the frat's houses. And it got shot up. We probably only got 4 cop cars.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Like
somebody actually died.
Somebody actually died. Probably only got 4 cop cars. That's it.
Wow.
In a shutdown street.
That's crazy.
But that's the difference between the North and the South, because you guys can't even have guns up here.
Yes. Oh, my God. I hate the gun laws. Besides the weather, that's my one, like, biggest gripe with New Jersey. It doesn't make any kind of sense at all.
What's the gun laws here? Because I know you can't carry. I know you all can't carry.
I'll tell you my situation. You can carry, but it's you got to fight super hard to get it. So the process is I wanted to get a gun. Okay, I had to go get fingerprinted, and then I had to get my license. I had to wait for an appointment. Which took about a month and some change. And then what happened was, firstly, I messed up. Because my middle name is Yasin, so I put Y dot, my last name, there. And then didn't put it on the fingerprinting thing. So they took 2 years to finally get back to me and be like, that was a problem.
Damn.
Yes. So then after that, I finally just start talking with a detective. By the way, it's the only time I talk to detectives. You know what I'm saying? Fuck 12. No, I'm joking. But nah, I started talking to a detective, and he's trying to help me out and whatnot. And then when I was about 10 years old, I told my moms I wish that I was never born because my mom and my pops was arguing a lot. And she took that as I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
So she put me in a mental hospital. When I was 10, I'm 25 now. Yet and still, everything was moving perfectly, and then the detective hit me up saying, he hit me up saying, like, you need to get some kind of, like, update from a doctor or a therapist to say that you're going to be able to have a firearm. And I'm like, but that was, like, jail records don't even work like that. Past 10 years, it don't count, you know? It's expunged.
Right.
So why does that work with that? I haven't had any kind of manic episodes or been at a hospital or anything like that since I was 10. Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't even a manic episode. That was just a worried mother.
Yes. Yeah, but, I mean, they don't know that. Like, let's say I was suicidal then, like...
I'd rather take the safe precaution and put him in a hospital than...
Yeah,
not on that aspect. I'm saying from getting the gun.
Yeah, like, 15 years later. Like, especially... my main thing is, I came up with this song called Declare. And I really put on for my town. Like, everybody knows me. Everybody know who I am as a person and whatnot. I'm not a violent person. I don't even do any, like, say any, like, violent shit in my music and whatnot. What, like, just being who I am, if you have the power to change that, change me being able to protect myself if some shit go down, like, let me have that. Like, I'm me, you know?
Question of the day.
Hmm?
Question of the day. I have a question of the day that I do on the pods, right?
Yeah.
Just throw
this
them
is
in
for
there.
Both of y'all, right?
All right.
Do you think that guns has done more harm or good?
Harm.
Hands down, right?
Harm. Yeah. For
sure. So then why do you feel like you need it?
I need it to protect myself because there's guns out there. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, that's like saying, like, oh, car accidents happen all the time. Why do you need a car? Because somebody might hit me with a car anyway while I'm walking.
Okay. So now, what if the government was to say, you know what, let's get rid of the guns?
Does the government have the guns? Because I don't trust that either. We're already too far. I was going to say too far in history, but that doesn't make sense. But with our history, we're too far in being overcapacitated with guns everywhere. The government takes it away, the hood still got guns. Like, let's be real.
Facts. Yeah. Like, they don't find a way.
And we know how to get them.
Yup.
Yeah.
Yup. And, like, we know how to get them. Reagan gave them to us. Like,
but I'm not going to lie, though. Outside of the whole hold for 2 years, mm-hmm. I think I like that to be a law down south to where it's a little bit more difficult
it's
for you.
Definitely
I do want it to be difficult. And I do want them to do
more
mental backgrounds. In fact, I'm not that mad about the situation. I'm mad because it's me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like it shouldn't be that difficult as it is in New Jersey.
But like, when I tell you in it's Georgia, easy. With my gun that I got, bro, all I did was show them my ID.
Mm-hmm.
They did some real quick ass check.
Mm-hmm.
I kid you not, 5 minutes, gave me my gun and I walked out.
I don't want it to be that easy.
I want
it to be easier.
I got my license when I was 21. Like, I don't have a gun yet, but I got my license.
Mm.
I literally did it online. It was an online course I took. And they mailed me a license. That was it.
That's crazy.
And I couldn't get it mailed to the school, so I had to get it mailed to my house.
That's crazy.
And everybody now, you should go down south. Mm. There's people walking with gun holsters everywhere.
Yeah. No, I've seen it. Bro. It's like that in Pennsylvania, too. Yo, my pops got, like, he got an arsenal. He don't even need, like, all that he got. If shit ever go down,
if Russia ever come over here.
Yo, everybody in the family say, well, we know where we going first. little do they know, he told me, look, man, they ain't getting nothing. I got something for you, but.
They don't know now.
Are y'all scared about what's going on with Russia right now?
No. You know why?
Why?
Because if a nuclear war happens, we're either going to be so affected by it that we're going to die instantly, or we're not going to be affected by it. It's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, the kind of war that could happen off of Russia versus U.S. is nuclear, which means we're not surviving that.
True.
It's not like Hiroshima where some people are going to be able to survive it. This is modern nuclear weapons. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
What about you, Trey? How you feel about it?
I'm in between. Like, the threat of that happening, like, it being a full-blown nuclear war, and then poof, everything's gone in an instant, is like, wow. That's absolutely mind-boggling that we've gotten to that advancement of technology.
But the world ending has always been a thing. I don't know if you're religious at all.
I am. I'm a Christian.
Yeah,
right. So, y'all, with the way the world is looking right now, I'm pretty sure y'all think Jesus is probably, like, one more step away from coming back.
And they thought like that for 30 years. 30 years ago, they thought Jesus was on the way. 30 years before that, they thought Jesus was on the way.
Because when World War II happened and, what was the disease? Polio was around. Yeah. People was like, oh, yeah, this is the pandemic. And the war that they're talking about, now that we have COVID-19 and the Ukraine crisis, oh, this is what... So there's always going to be something that you can point to the Bible. You
if
know
y'all
what I'm
really want
to
be spooked out, look up Muslim end of day signs.
Let me hear some of this.
All right, so like I don't want to waste time by rambling. I'm gonna just get straight to the point. But there's so many different end time.
Cause these end of time stories that I listen to throughout history scares the shit out of me.
I've never been
like,
scared.
It's like the mindset.
I've been scared of dying. I've never been scared of the end of the world. And I was only scared of dying when Michael Jackson died. I was like, if he can die, anybody can die. I swear to God, I was like 8 years old.
Michael Jackson's death was a whole year. That nigga died that whole year.
Like I was unfearful of death until Michael Jackson died. I said, what?
Dude,
the
I just fuck? Got out of middle school. Like literally, just got out of graduating middle school. 8th grade, we're driving, everything is good. And wait, was it 8th grade? It might have been 7th grade. I'm tripping. I think it was 7th grade. We driving and whatnot on the radio. Yeah, Michael Jackson just died. I'm just like,
Bro, the whole world was about to shut down. Talk about a pandemic, nigga. Michael Jackson was a pandemic, bro.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson dying is a pandemic, bro.
Speaking of, would you ever want to be as big as Michael Jackson? That's a different type of rich and famous.
Yeah, like, all right, so my girl said, like, where do you want to take it? And I was like, I want to be, like, Hov or Drake, you know what I'm saying? But I don't think I can be, I don't know if I want to be. Well, then again, I think to be Michael Jackson level is, like, low-key to be Kanye level. And Kanye did that run where he was just random places and people respected him and respected what his music did for them. That's what I would want to be. You know what I'm saying? I don't want, like, screaming fans to worship me and be like, oh, my God. Like, I don't want all of that. Like, come have a conversation with me because you love my music. You know what I'm saying? Here's some of the signs that are already happening. By the way, this is just me reading.
He's not converting nobody.
Yeah, I'm not converting anybody, and I'm withholding my opinion on a lot of it. One is women will wear men's clothing and men will wear women's clothing. That's what happens. That's just one of the things
that happens,
and is already happening, and was predicted way back.
Okay.
You will get to know what's happening in your home. Like Muhammad, peace be upon him, said. I forgot the exact scripture, but it was like he said, like people will cling to their thighs for information. Really, so think,
like,
about that.
Like a cell phone.
Cling to their thighs for information.
Yeah.
That's where we keep our phones, in our pockets, on our thighs.
It took you so long to get it.
Yo, y'all gotta add a sound effect over that. Yo,
this man just blew me, bro. No cap.
I never heard this one, but it says, woman will dance at every house and night. TikTok.
Okay.
Most importantly, the signs of Judgment Day is that the entire world will be destroyed. That's one of them. Mm-hmm. Nuclear war possibly happening. The protection of Islam will go from Arabs to non-Arabs. So, I don't know what that means exactly. But I think that if we look at the United Nations, isn't America protecting a lot of Middle Eastern countries?
Yeah.
So, I guess you could say that time will go fast. Faster and faster and faster. Now, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, but I've been feeling like that. Like, yo, everything just happens way too fast now.
All right, so on that, just the straight-up time aspect, my freshman year at my first school, I started off at North Carolina Central University. Mm. And the first thing that the janitor told me is, you better embrace this time now. I was 18 years old. I probably wasn't even 18 yet, because when I moved into college, I was 17 years old. And the first thing he told me was, you better enjoy this time after graduation. Because, or this time in college, because as soon as you graduate high school, life happens like that. He said, I blinked and now I'm a janitor at North Carolina Central. I'm cleaning up you guys' bathrooms.
Stop.
Yeah, why you make that sound like a bad thing? Like, he ain't getting a check for it.
He is not to say, but that's how I told it.
But that's a scary ass way to tell somebody. Like,
and I was 18. I was like, oh shit, I'm about to waste the hell out of my life.
Wait, I found a website with like more like
signs,
sources, okay, and more signs. Splitting of the moon. If you look at the moon, and this didn't happen like before, but this is something that Muhammad, peace be upon him, predicted through God, of course. And it's the splitting of the moon. Not to say the moon is going to split in half, but there is a split on the moon. If you take a telescope and look, there is a split on the moon. That happened and wasn't there when Muhammad, peace be upon him, was here. Mm-hmm. A form of death which will kill thousands of Muslims. I would say terrorism.
This man, wow.
A major fighting in Medina. No, that was like a war that happened already too. The Muslim conquest of Jerusalem. Muslims did conquer Jerusalem for very long. One of the other predictions is that Jewish people will get
it back.
And what's happening now with Israel and Palestine?
Yeah,
Jewish people are getting it back. Mm-hmm. Two large groups of Muslims will fight in war. I think that's happening between, I think Iran and Iraq. Forgive me if I'm wrong. A peace agreement between Muslims and non-Muslims. 30 imposters will impair each thinking he is a prophet. Mm. Now, I don't know. I just know that that's happening a lot. Every other day, there's somebody like, yo, I'm a prophet. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what that'll be. Events that are happening at present. I'm trying to get to the juicy stuff.
No, you straight, bro.
Well, taken. No, knowledge will be taken away by the death of people of knowledge. So, I believe what that means is like, yeah, we have our phones and have the internet and stuff like that, but there's general knowledge that you can only experience through living, and the youth ain't really trying to hear that from the older people. And the older people aren't really trying to talk to the ignorant ass youth, you know? Mm-hmm. The youth being us, I take accountability and say I'm part of that. Wine intoxicants will be drunk in great quality, in great quantities. The way that we drink in America is really an issue. Like, there's a liquor store everywhere at all times. We can drink at almost any time of day. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all don't have that thing in Sundays. You can't drink at a past a certain time.
We don't have not that. Here. We don't have that in Georgia anymore either.
Yeah. They got rid of it in Georgia too.
Well, you can't sell alcohol on Sunday till noon.
Yeah, that's they yeah. have that at least.
Yeah.
Earthquakes will increase. There's been an earthquake every other day, especially in the West, West Coast, I should say. Bloodshed will increase, yeah. A man will pass by the grave of another and wish he was in the latter's place.
Damn, so people are wishing they were
dead.
Yeah,
wishing they'd rather be dead than be here.
Dude, listen to the music that's being played. That's like, true. We're all, like, come on, like... people will gather for prayer but won't be able to find a leader of prayer. Mm. Now, I haven't seen that exactly happen yet, but I can say this. Even in, like, this is just for Islam, but there's only a few people who can be leading the prayers when I go to a Muslim church or the masjid, and I don't really, I don't see anybody young doing it. And these people are getting older and older, and
they're eventually going to pass, and nobody's stepping into those positions.
Yep. So, I don't know. I feel guilty because I'm like, oh, I could be learning this stuff and prepare for that, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know if I feel like that's my life's purpose. But it's like every bad thing that's happening that I feel like I can prevent, that's supposed to be part of the end of the world, a lot of the times I got to sit back and be like, look, this is all God's will. I can't change what's happening right now. All I can do is just be on the right side of it.
That's a better way of saying it is what it is.
It is what it is. My boy.
No, for real though. Like I'm in 100% agreement with that aspect of it. Like, so when it goes back to your question, like, am I scared? Wait, what was it of the war?
Yeah,
I'm in between it because like nobody wants to see anything blow up like that, all because two superpowers were beefing. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand,
it might be part of what's gonna happen. You know.
But yeah, it is what it is. Like, if it does happen, fuck am I going to do about it? I can't talk to Putin. I can't talk to Biden.
You could tweet him.
Yeah. I don't even know who the president or dictator of China is. I can't talk to him.
Yeah.
I don't know who runs UK. So what they decide to do, like he said, is God's will. Even though I'm Christian, at the end of the day, whatever happens, happens. And we all, I feel like, and this is just a random, wait, first, before I ask that question. Are you scared of it?
I see you breathing, bro.
I ain't gonna lie. I have two things. Because my little brother just joined the Navy. Yeah. And that's my heart, my soul, my little brother. I love that man with a passion. But I would hate to see anything bad happen with that. So, yeah. Of course, that's just me. And plus, I have people that I know that's in the Army and everything. But, again, you have to face the reality of everything.
Nah, so, God bless all of the soldiers out there, you know.
For sure, bro.
I understand that, like, sometimes the powers that be may misuse your need for justice and whatnot. But at the end of the day, y'all all got families and are just trying to make it home to those families and fight for your country and fight for us, you know. So I appreciate that to the max. And for any of you who, you know, because it's only inevitable, it happens sometimes. For anybody who doesn't make it home, you know, just know that you have a really high place in heaven for dedicating your life to others in that way. Mm.
Damn.
Special shout out to Millions Brother and my boy Dino and Lou.
And then my second thing is, nigga, I might get drafted.
You're not going to get drafted. I ain't gonna lie. Did y'all get that paper, by the way, when y'all was 18?
Yeah.
You had to do it. I was looking at it like,
yo, like, I really don't got a choice right now.
Bro, you really don't, bro. Because you go to jail if you don't do that or something.
Yeah.
How old? You're almost out of it, though. Isn't 26 too old to be drafted? Isn't no. 18 to 25?
I thought it was 30, nigga.
Nah, ooh. Let's check that right now. If so, I'm about to. Well, we gonna celebrate, and I don't drink. Drinks on me. We gonna have some apple cider. Like,
hey, let's do it.
Draft age bracket. I should put.
Woo! What?
18 to 26.
I told you. He almost out. Snap. So by the time she get crazy, he out that
so
bitch.
You wouldn't fight for your country.
Oh. I told him the same. I told Mill the same thing, bro. I said, bro, I'm not fighting. I don't
look, man.
I don't care.
All right, but
I
here's my care. Here's my reasoning. It's not okay, that I'm afraid to fight. Reason. First of all, if not even Russians, if any intruders come over here and I have to defend my land, like in that kind of way, I'm signing up for the army. I'm with all the smoke in that way. You know what okay. I'm saying? I'm defending my land. I'm not letting anybody come over and take my land in that kind of way. I'm not a deploy kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't send me out there to do dirty work. Because a lot of the times, you know, the reason that these people have PTSD and all of that is because they did some really dark, cruel stuff because they were commanded to. But it's not what they wanted to do. And they killed innocent women and children and stuff like that. They did war crimes. But it's just not considered a war crime because it's for the president. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand people didn't do this, but they control these things. Like, if you think about the drone strikes from America in the Middle East in general, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are killing, like, whole families. Put yourself in their shoes for a minute. You're just somebody who's just growing up and happen to be in this situation. You just look up one day and just see a bomb come down. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't want to ever cause that or be part of that. That's just, I'm not a patriot in that way. Sorry. I'm sorry, I was mad dark.
My bad. Nah, I was just thinking about waking up. Like, imagine, like, we just walk outside. Like, we just...
Stop, nigga. You ain't shit. You ain't shit.
That's crazy as hell.
Yo, that's crazy. Yo, you ain't shit. You wildin' right now, bro.
Yo, oh my God, for me.
It's better to laugh than cry, people.
Oh, shit. That was wild. But no, I wouldn't get drafted.
He's not laughing at the situation, but it's just like thinking about seeing that. Like, you're going to laugh like, yo, this is crazy. Like, yeah.
That's crazy as hell.
Looking up at the sky like, yo, who mans is this? Like,
yo, that should be crazy but as fuck, bro.
Now that he brings, like, he has a very valid point. But the reason why I wouldn't get drafted, because I wouldn't see myself as a killer. Like, I even with getting my gun license, I did that to protect myself. But even if I was placed in a situation where I had to kill somebody, I feel like I couldn't do it. Like, man. Even if it was my life or theirs, I think it would be easier for me to just go opposed to defend myself.
Nah, let
and
me
that's
not.
Why I haven't gotten a gun yet.
I was going to say, let me not, because, like, I was like, man, nah, it's either your life or mine. Like, I got people to live for. I got a purpose, you know. But at the same time, I've never been in this position where I've had to, like, kill somebody or even aim a gun at somebody, you know. So I don't know what I would do in that instance. So I'm going to just say my piece.
I can't lie. I've had one situation where I actually had to, like, pull out my gun, and it terrified me. So I was sleeping outside in my car. That's just my peaceful place, right? Mm. I was outside the gym because I was like, I'm gonna go in the morning, and I was so tired. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna sleep outside the gym, so I can wake up and go straight in. So all right. Later on that night, somebody came to my front door and tried to open it. So I'm like, yo, like, wrong car or some shit like that. But apparently he didn't hear me. He walks around and, like, tries to get in too. So now I'm like, fuck, man, you got me about to use my gun.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, someone's in here. He's still acting like he can't fucking hear me. Like,
yeah,
he's pulling on my fucking, he's pulling on the handle. I grab the gun, he sees it, and he takes off. But when I tell you, I genuinely was sitting there like, bro, I don't think I'm going to kill this person. Like, yeah. I don't think I'm going to shoot this gun. I didn't even cock it. I'm like, bro, I just hope this person gets scared enough and is like, you know, values their life enough to not throw it away.
Because,
man, I'm sitting here shaking at this point because I'm like, bro, I can't take a person's life.
I like that, and that's where I came to tell
you. Thank God that person wasn't trying to
do anything. That just goes to say, like, the Army does not need to draft me because I'm not that nigga. Yeah. I'm not that nigga.
Oh God, they calling the wrong dude. They call me
the wrong nigga. Army.
Nah, like I'm not that person if I'm out there. You know what I'm saying? Like if I see like a baby or you know a woman and whatnot, I'm gonna just be like, all right, I guess this is my end. Cause right. I'm not doing that. You know, that's just not who I am.
But the question I had earlier was, it had a lot to do with the religious connections that both specifically our religion share, but just in general, every religion shares some sort of connection. And this is my low-key version of the question of the day. Like, God gave us freedom of choice. Do you think that he intentionally placed multiple religions on earth just so that he could find a way for everybody to make it to his kingdom? Because I find myself asking myself that question a lot.
I do too.
That's a beautiful way to put it. Truth be told, though, I think everybody... All right, so I feel like we all have free will, right? But I also feel like, or I know every single one of us has a place in heaven and has a place in hell. So we have a cellar in hell and a mansion in heaven. It's just about where do we want to go? How do we want to devote our lives? And, you know, from the moment that we're born, God already knows whether we're going to go to hell or heaven. And that can be like... It can be somebody's life. If it's determined that they're going to go to heaven, it can be somebody who's lived a life of murdering, killing, every single possible terrible sin the entire life. But then the last day of their life, they just give their life to God and say, I was wrong and ask for forgiveness. They're going to heaven. There can be somebody who saved his virginity or tried to save his virginity in a marriage, lost it at 14, got a wife and tried to use his musical talents to help and heal, but just... The last day let's say today was my last day and I just went in a car and was like, you know what? I don't believe today. And I get in a car crash. Meant for me to go to hell. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. So with that mindset though, you're saying there is no such thing as free will.
There's such thing as free will.
Not really though, because if you think about it, you're saying that he predetermines if you're going to heaven or hell.
All right. So if you know how a situation is going to turn out, right? But you don't tell that person that you know how the situation is going to turn out, there's still free will. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. But I don't think of religion as that. I think of religion as like, have you ever had a teacher where they said, you already have an A as soon as you come into class. It's up to you to decide if you're going to get it. That's how I see religion as like.
Don't let me decide. Uh-huh.
Because if you put in the work, if you do what you're supposed to do, you're going to end this class exactly how you started it. Mm. I feel like that's what religion is like. God says, like, look, I put you on this earth to go to heaven, but what you do in between determines your outcome, determines if you're going to get a passing grade or a failing grade. And that's how I kind of, like, grown to view religion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's a very, yeah, I agree with that.
Do you think that you have a destiny? Like, are you destined to be on earth?
Yeah.
Like, are you here for a reason?
Everything, I believe everything that's happened and is happening and is going to happen has been written already. I feel like that. Now, as I said, still feel like we have freedom of choice, though.
So, what do you feel like your meaning, and both of y'all, really, like, what do you think that your meaning, what is your meaning for being here?
Here's my answer as a Muslim. I think everybody's here to worship God. I think that's the only reason that we're created, and we have to figure out how we're going to do that. We can. People look at worshiping God as like, oh, you just got to pray all day. Like, no. There's so many different ways you can do that. You can do that by just... Did you know smiling is a form of worship to people? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you like, hey, how you doing? Like, me giving you a smile?
Okay.
That's a form of worship. You know what I'm saying? You just calling your family member to be like, yo, I love you, is a form of worshiping God because you're doing it because of God. You have goodness in God in your heart, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I forgot the question.
Oh, I was just saying, like, what is your meaning?
Yeah, that is my meaning.
What do you think that your meaning is for being here, Trey?
In everything I do, I've always connected with people. Like, regardless, like football, I was captain. Baseball team captain. I go to college. When I try to do something that's like a personal choice, like when in terms of careers, like trying to be a tech guy, I was doing that for the money. Didn't work. Now I'm in business management, looking to go into human resources. I'm doing great. I feel like whenever I have something where the sole purpose of it is to connect with people, I shine. So I feel like my earthly meaning on this, to be on this planet, is to literally go out and meet as many people as possible. Like, I really think that, like, that's what I'm here for. Like, God gave me the power of the tongue. He gave me the ability to speak to people. And I feel like he wants me to use it in as many ways as possible.
That's beautiful.
Damn, that's deep. I love it. Because mine is just, I don't know. I genuinely don't know what I'm here for. Like, I know I'm here for something. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I guess I haven't really realized. I think before I die, I'll probably get the answer. Like, oh, I see what everything is. Maybe I was here for that.
I mean, have you ever tried the approach that I just said where, like, you are thinking, like, have you ever tried? All right, so you're a Christian. Have you ever?
Yeah.
Struggling with faith?
Yes.
I understand.
Well, not faith. I definitely believe in a God.
Yeah, but I'm saying that you're not, like,
I got you. Yeah,
going
to
church every Sunday. I get it. So you got love for God and you know God love you. Have you ever looked at it and just said, like, yo, all right, I'm going to just worship God and figure out how I can do that through everything I do? Like, you might not have one purpose. You might not just be a podcaster. You can be so many different things and anything that you really want to be. You're a black man.
Yeah.
And just try to find a way to nudge that in there with everything so everything you do has purpose. Like, yeah. Although I haven't been working out like I should be, anytime that I get really motivated to work out, my reasoning is God gave me this body to borrow. You know what I'm saying? My soul is in this body, but at the end of the day, this is his body. I should take care of it. So now my working out is a form of worship.
I haven't thought about it like that.
I haven't either.
And that's kind of the aspect, like, that's like the mindset of, like, God is in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, as you do everything or that you're supposed to do, you're supposed to be thinking mindfully about God throughout it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing you now. I'm hearing you now. I'm definitely thinking about it now, bro.
And I ain't gonna
lie.
Let
me know how that go for you, man.
For sure, bro. We got to keep in touch. We definitely got to keep in
touch. Yeah, this is going well. Like, I'm not gonna lie. When you first say yes, like, I didn't even think, like, we were gonna have a... Well, before I did research on you, like, real deal research, because at first I was like, I had scrolled by one of your music videos, or a cypher on YouTube, and I was like, bro, this dude is dope. And I started listening to your music. I was like, yo, this dude is dope. And I was like, shit.
Thank you.
Let me throw a dart on the wall and see if it stick. And we got the interview. But meeting you has been, like, awesome. Like, you're bringing so much insight to, like, for real. Like, it's
definitely
dope.
A kindred soul. You know what a kindred soul is? Definitely.
I forgot what I was trying to say, but I definitely had to get that out. But trying to bring it back to the music aspect, like, it was a lot of things I wanted to ask about. Two songs in specific on Duo Diddy.
Mm-hmm.
They're not two of my favorite, but they're two of the most meaningful to me personally. Like, my two favorite would probably be Mama Made It and Go to Work. Like,
I made that for Atlanta. both of those songs, I was like, yeah, I feel like Atlanta gonna rock with this.
Well, it worked because, like, go to work. Like, I listened to that song in the gym. Like, that's on my workout playlist.
That song is meant for the gym, strip clubs, just at your job, and school. That's, like, that's what I was thinking about.
Go to work.
Yeah, just go to work. You know, like, whatever you do.
I can see women throwing ass to it right now.
Yeah. It's nuts for the strip clubs, yeah.
But everything. But two of the most meaningful songs to me was Duality and Bloom. And I feel like with intros in general, like, people...
Duality was the first one, right?
Yeah.
That shit was so...
With intros in general, like, people are trying, like, the goal of the intro is to hook you to the rest of the album. And Duality did a great job at that. And my question to you is, you spoke a lot on the contrast of you versus you, right? Like, you're battling the aspect of, yo, I'm successful. Like, a lot of people can't say they have 44,000 subscribers on YouTube, 50,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. But in the other aspect, like, you told us today, like, your dreams are, I want to be Kanye. Like, I want to be on that level of artist. So the aspect of being successful and not really making it yet, like, how do you personally deal with that outside of music? Sorry for the long-winded question.
No, it takes a long-winded thought.
Essentially, we're just asking, like, do you see yourself as, like, are you successful?
Oh, right now?
Do you consider yourself as successful?
If I die today and I go to heaven, yeah.
But what if you didn't die today? Like,
if I didn't die today? I mean, that's kind of how I judge my life. I'm not gonna lie. Like at every given moment, I just always ask myself, if I die right now and I go to heaven, I'm
successful. If you walked outside, and he looked up in the sky.
Yo. hey, but I do gotta say this though. I like that you said this because I got a terrible tattoo. I was high, made a stupid ass decision one night. It was free, but it says today is a good day to die. And the fact that you said that, it just made me think about my, like, okay, like, hey, I'm living my life, like, right now, like yeah. you said, Trey, honestly, if we died going to Times Square today, God forbid, but if we did, I'd sit there and be like, you know what, I did my damnedest.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did my damnedest.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, to me, that's success. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That is success.
Numbers wise, though, I think that's what Trey was trying to get at.
Like, oh, yeah. Numbers wise, there's always more to do. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like
I'm successful. I'm the perfect quote. You're always where you are supposed to be.
Mm.
So I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be at right now. Who am I to argue? You know, with life itself.
That's facts.
Now I'm gonna grind to get further and further and further. But if 10 years from now I'm in the same spot, it's just where we're supposed to be. Will I be hurt? Yes, because a rapper is just, that's the career where you have a limit.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't want to say I can't be dissatisfied with my position in life because I'm only human, but I shouldn't be, and nobody should ever be.
That's deep. But another question. All right, about Bloom. I know that Bloom is a song meant to, like, bring people out of hard places, and it's about, like, battling depression and battling sadness. But you said one bar that really caught my ear, and I hate to say it like this, but when you said, I shower 5 times a week, you know, that really caught my ear because we're from down south. Like, a lot of times, I have to take 2 showers a day.
Oh, yeah, it's hot out there.
It's hot. So I'm asking, like, is that like a northern thing? Like,
first of all, let's put the emphasis on at least. I definitely said... I shower at least 5 times.
I heard at most. That's what I heard.
No. That's not what you heard at all. It's the one thing Rap Genius got right. But nah, I said at least because, all right, when I said that bar, I wasn't really thinking about myself. I was thinking about other people out there. I know some people that, like, when they're depressed, they just don't shower at all.
Yeah.
They can't. So I felt like, let me, you know, get to my worst week numbers. And put that out there so whoever's listening to this song may feel more comfortable and not feel like they're so far from being able to achieve something. You know what I'm saying? If you could at least shower 5 times a week, no matter where you are, no matter how hot it is outside or how cold it is outside, you're able to take care of yourself. Hey, yo, why you step back? No, I'm joking.
To me, he's like, what?
I think Sabine's like,
you
ain't shit.
Yo. But yeah, just do as much as you can. That's what I was trying to say out of that.
I feel it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I don't know why that bar caught my ears because I was listening to it again on the plane. Like, it wasn't my first time hearing the song, but I heard that was the first time hearing that bar. Like, damn, only 5 times?
Because
I'm thinking down south, like. When in Fort Valley, like where we are, it's nothing but heat. Like here, it's 30 degrees and it snowed this morning. There is 90 degrees and they having day parties.
That's amazing.
so I'm thinking, like, bro, I would have at least take 3 showers. Like, is that a northern thing?
Imagine yourself at your worst. Nobody can live and be like they've never missed one day of showering. At least
definitely,
one day, right? So
definitely,
if you're depressed, that might go from. Oh, one day. Not saying those 2 days are back to back, like, oh, I didn't take a shower all weekend type shit, but like, I took a shower Monday, Tuesday, but it's been a really hard week. I missed Wednesday. But I took a shower on Thursday. Damn, I missed Friday. But I took a shower Saturday and Sunday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've definitely been there before, like, for real. Like, just in the bed. Like, it's been days where I was just so out of it where I was like, bro, I don't even want to get up today. I'll try again tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, oh, fuck it. I'll try to get up next day. Like, yeah. It's definitely been days where I've just been in my bed.
You gotta love yourself, man. Yeah. I think showering is a form of self love, you know. Because I said I shower at least 5 times a week. What did I say? Oh my gosh. I hate that. I have this thing where like I have to rap a verse from the beginning. Yeah. In order to remember it. But I started off with, when's the last time that you ate? You get some sleep last night. You go outside today. I know that you work hard. You find some time to play. Or did you at least meditate and give your mind a break? Nobody's... No, wait. Did you properly medicate? Get what you got to take. Nobody's perfect. Some of us need help to operate. But when's the last time you tried to talk to God for faith? No judging if you didn't. That's no place of mine to say. But hey, I asked a lot about you. I'll give you some of me. I shower when I can at least 5 times a week. Deodorant and cologne make sure I'm smelling sweet. But a shower wash away the bad energy. So you could be one of them that don't shower and just use Axe body spray every day and just use deodorant and powder your balls
middle
every day.
Middle school me.
Oh, God. Middle school. I thought that was it. All you need is deodorant and body wash. Yeah. I got to get in the tub.
I smell good, baby. But, yeah, you could do all of that. But, like, for the sake of your mental health, you really got to wash away bad energy. Like, I'm a firm believer in that.
Speaking of mental health, on the last show you were on, this episode released from today's day. It was like 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. And you were on the show with some old heads. I forgot the name of it. If you want to shout those guys out.
Oh, you saw that. That's crazy, man. You
yeah, the Goodfellas.
The Goodfellas.
Yeah,
the
shout
Goodfellas.
Out to the Goodfellas. Yeah. Especially my homeboy, Karev.
And you were talking about how people from Montclair don't really put each other on, right?
Yeah.
And you were talking like Fatboy SSE does it. But in specific, you pointed out Pineapple City. Now, I have no clue who Pineapple City is. I meant to look up who she is. Uh-huh. But I didn't do my due diligence, but you said that she had a large impact on your life mentally.
Yes.
How did she have that impact?
So it was just a conversation, really. It's not like she was just like, oh, I'm here for you if you need me kind of shit. Like, yeah. Although she does say that too. We were just hanging out. We didn't record a song that day. We were just chilling. And I don't think we were doing anything that day musically. Yeah. And she said that she taught me a lot about ADHD, which I have and just never really deal with. I use it as an explanation, you know, for a lot of different things. But she taught me why I think the way that I think. And that helped me so much, because when you don't understand yourself, you feel like something is wrong with you. You feel like it's everything is your fault and stuff like that. And she took me out of that space with the conversation we had that day. So, yeah, that I don't think she knew what she did for me that day, but that just really changed my life.
That's dope.
Damn, I love it, bro.
Before we end things off, do you have anything planned musically? I heard on the Goodfellas, you said you're trying to make a classic album. Is that coming soon?
Still the goal. Truth be told, reason I was late today is because I was trying to finish up a mix on one of the songs.
Understandable.
Yeah. Hey, I ain't gonna lie. You're not even the latest.
We've had somebody 2 hours late and drunk.
Oh my God.
And drunk.
So they was drinking on the way there. That's hilarious.
Hey, yo, but we love you, though. Yeah.
She know who we talking about. You coming back.
Yeah, you coming back for sure.
Or, yeah, there's that. So many shows coming up. Expect to see a lot of me. You know, God willing, globally, if, you know, Putin don't, you know. I don't know if, I'm not going to say, like, y'all can expect the album this year. You know what I'm saying? But expect new music, a couple of singles and stuff, and a lot of fun, you know? I'm all about having a lot of fun.
Okay, bad, bro.
Skood with it.
Skood with it. Yo, I love that y'all from Atlanta and y'all know how to say that properly. Because some people be like,
I ain't try it.
Skood with it. I ain't try it.
Skood with it.
Yeah, you got
skood,
it.
Skood with it.
Yeah, yeah. That's literally it. It's not skood with it.
Ugh. I like it.
Again,
man,
thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come meet with us, man. That was really a pleasure.
Of course.
Pleasure.
We're going to link up again tomorrow, y'all.
Tomorrow's gonna be so much content, fun. Yeah.
Oh man,
wait.
Tomorrow's gonna
by
be
the
so
way,
much fun.
I don't know if I explained this to y'all properly, but the concert, the Naughty by Nature concert, isn't like a concert, it's in the metaverse. Did I explain that?
Whoa. No.
So what that means is y'all are gonna be seeing the behind the scenes
of the metaverse?
Yes.
And that's going to be so
I'm happy you're more excited for that.
It's going to be so hard.
That's going to be so hard.
It's going to make me determine if I really want to invest in it or not.
Yeah, no, same here. I'm going to be looking at the playback I wish I was there.
It's going to make me think like, damn, like, is this shit going to be the future? That's what I want to know. I don't think, I feel like,
we'll find out.
Yeah, because I feel like interpersonal connection is so, Like, that's why we didn't want to do virtual. Like, when you're like, well, we can do virtual. I was like, I don't want to do that.
You don't feel the energy.
I want to be there. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I can't wait. I'm so excited to see that shit,
dope, though.
I'm telling you, though, like, although that's going to be awesome, tomorrow's show that I got, like, lined up, I'm not going to say too much because it's mostly a surprise.
And is that before or is that after?
It's after. Because you remember that's
so we have the in-person. It's in-person.
That's 6 p.m. to 12 a.m.
Yes.
All right, bet.
First of all, y'all about to see how Montclair get down. You know what I'm saying? Montclair got him out here.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And that's how I got my wife.
Okay.
But, yeah, there's that. Yo, yeah, the show tomorrow. The amount of artists that y'all about to be put on to, y'all going to really feel like, God willing, I hope y'all feel like this, that New Jersey is going to be like the next Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all been putting on forever, it feels like, pretty much my entire life.
Since OutKast.
Yup, and y'all been killing shit, and it just don't stop, and y'all got such solid community over there and whatnot, but Jersey's finally catching on to that, you know what I'm saying? And with the internet, we're no longer going to allow New York to gatekeep, you know? The South of New York got something to say.
Ooh, I like to hear that.
Hey, bro, I just got chills, yo.
Samad Savage, everybody, thank you for sitting down with us. Hey, and give them your socials. I mean, it's not going to be that hard to find them, but go ahead.
Samad Savage, literally everywhere. If you're looking for music, all of my socials, music videos, my bio, just to reach out to me and say what's up, I appreciate that. Just go to samadsavage.com. SamadSavage. Literally, look at the title. My name is in the title. And .com, and that's it.
All right, bro. That's it. Thank you again.
Thank you.